Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It's National Wills Week. All you need to know about wills. David Levine from DHL Accounting. David, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And how are you, Howard?
Yeah, excellent, thank you. Do a lot of people have the same reaction that I'm having this morning? Is, oh gosh, like wills, do we have to talk about it?
Rather talk about it while you're in a position to talk about it and wait until it's too late.
100%. And so many of us are like that, that it's so and it's so interesting because if I look at some of the people in my life that we're surrounded by, some of them, and it's so impressive, will sit down with their families and talk about and say, this is what we, this is the planning, this is what's going to happen, this is how it looks, even if they are in good health, while others just don't want to deal with it, even knowing that this is something that's inevitable.
It is, and you never know when it's going to happen. Thank God for some of us, or most of us, it happens later rather than sooner. But you need to be prepared. And what you were saying about the conversation with your family, that's such an important part, because if you create a will for yourself and it's between you and your accountant or your attorney, and you don't tell your family where the will is or what's in it, you know what, when the time comes, if you're no longer in touch with that accountant or attorney and nobody knows where the will is, you have huge issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very, very valid point. How often should people revise their will?
A well-structured will should need revision only when there's major changes in one's life. Okay. But having said that, you should revisit it every, should we say, 2 or 3 years, because your circumstances do change, and however well we structure a will in the first place and provide for additional children and heirs and beneficiaries, you know what, your circumstances do change, and the people who you wanted to be the guardians of your children when you wrote the will originally, you may not want them to be the guardians as your kids get older, because you know what? Children's needs change.
Absolutely.
As they grow older.
So it's interesting. I was going to make that point. Specifically, younger parents. I know that that we were talking about it in my own circumstance, in our own world, and saying that we raised that exact issue, is that we created our will at a time when our kids were much younger. Now things have changed completely. We've got, you know, a number of our kids are over the age of majority. They're adults. And everything does really change. So it's interesting when to relook at things like that.
Okay. You also have to remember that age is not the only measure of adulthood.
Yeah, that's true. Some of my older kids are complete idiots. It's true.
Exactly. Yeah. They've reached an age of majority in terms of the law, but do you trust them to look after their affairs?
They can barely remember to shower. So yes, I think that is a valid point. How complicated is it, you know, and how expensive is it for people to prepare a will?
You know what, a will is not, you know, that's like saying, how long is a piece of string?
Right, yeah.
Okay, a will is not that expensive to prepare. There is professional time and consultations that need to be done. The more complicated a person's affairs are, then of course the more time is spent and the more costly a will be. But you've got to look at the same as your insurance policy. You're investing now against a disaster in the future.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I think the other point that you raised is so important, is it's not good enough just to have a will and have it with somebody, an accountant or somebody, but people actually need to know where it is.
Yeah, for sure. It's, and you know what? It's one thing when you're doing a will or preparing a will, when you have minor children. I remember my own personal circumstance. My wife and I struggled at the time with guardianship of our younger children, our minor children, as to which grandparents or which relation would be best suited to be the guardian. And it is one thing you have to discuss with the guardians themselves as well, and see if they are able to accept that responsibility.
Give us just one or two tips that that we can take away from this, and our listeners can use should they either not have had a they don't already have a will, or if they are considering changing it.
Sorry, the Hardy Dars are flying over. I don't know if they're disturbing the conversation.
I absolutely love the, you know, the Hardy Dars have become part of all of our Teams meetings now. You know, it's, you know, everybody's having these Zoom or Teams or whatever it is meetings online for work, and Hardy Dars have just become the uninvited guests of every single meeting. Mm-hmm. So David, what I was saying to you, what I was asking you is just for a number of tips maybe for people to look out for, if they are in the process of, thinking about their will.
Okay. Firstly, you need to trust the person you're appointing as your executor. Okay. And you can actually appoint anybody as an executor in your will. The problem comes in with that appointment being confirmed by the master, which is a statutory body that controls the administration of estates. And the master will never allow somebody who is not versed in the administration of estates to actually accept the appointments as an executor without being assisted by somebody like myself and my practice, who are accredited and recognized as such with the master's office. So you can choose your spouse, a child that you trust in business, anybody, but they would have to actually appoint somebody such as myself to assist them, and that paperwork would have to go to the master as well. The other thing is, if your nominated executor has emigrated, which is quite common in this day and age, mm-hmm. then they also, their appointment would not be approved by the master, so you would have to put something in with an alternate, potentially an alternate executor. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is, your will should not only provide for your current beneficiaries or dependents, but make provision for future dependents. Okay, and mm-hmm. If there are guardianship issues, then you need to address that, and make provision potentially for a trust in terms of your will to look after the assets that would be going to a minor beneficiary, or even a major beneficiary you are not sure would handle the acquisition finances of those assets.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and the other thing is, when you have immovable assets such as a house, there can be difficulties if you leave that asset to be split between 3 or 4 or 5 beneficiaries, because you can't take a chainsaw to it and split it up. So you end up with things such as joint ownership. And then if you've got beneficiaries or siblings at odds and they all co-own a house that belonged to the deceased, you know, we've seen plenty of family arguments in those circumstances.
Yeah, because that's exactly when things do go wrong. Unfortunately, we don't have more time. David, I think it is an important conversation and one that people need to be aware of. It is a National Wills Week, and I think it's very, very opportune. It is not something that most of us like to talk about. It's not something that most of us like to think about, but it is so vital. It is so important that you don't leave the next generation, or don't leave your kids, even if they are adults, in a messy situation that they have to deal with. It causes conflict between siblings and between children. The clearer that you can be, the fairer that you can be, the more fair that you can be, the better. David Levine from DHL Accounting. Thank you so much for taking to speak to us.